Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Ovius. NBA draft was last night. There seemed to be a surprise, or at least that's how it was positioned last night, with the overall number one pick, Paolo Banchero from Duke. Good night for Duke overall. Let's log on to the internet, shall we? It's brought to you by Geico. You got a choice of ways that you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's get it.
Number five.
Two ACC baseball items of note, Joe.
Okay.
And I would argue they are related.
All right.
Notre Dame coach Link Jarrett, who just led the Fighting Irish to the College World Series, is no longer the Notre Dame coach. He is leaving the Fighting Irish for Florida State, where he played.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that either. I just thought, wow, this guy's got a pretty good job. No.
Makes sense. Right. That makes sense.
Makes sense.
That makes sense. Because at first I'm thinking, man, Notre Dame's a decent gig. They pay. Florida State. Got it.
Florida State.
Yep.
So Link Jarrett, whose son you'll recall, JT Jarrett, plays for NC State.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of NC State, Tommy White was in the transfer portal, had decided to leave the Wolfpack. He was expected to go back to his home state, to Florida State.
Yeah, that's the way it was positioned when the transfer news for Tommy White hit.
But then Florida State made a coaching change, and they brought in Link Jarrett. Now, I don't know if Mike Martin Jr., a.k.a. Meat, was the reason why Tommy White wanted to go to Florida State to begin with. Mm-hmm. Don't know. But that's not where Tommy White's going to end up next year, Joe. Tommy White is going where you just were. LSU.
Oh.
He'll continue his baseball career in the SEC.
Hey, man.
Depriving us of next year's Florida State trip here, where potentially we could have seen an NC State legend getting thrown at by his former teammates.
That means more.
We can always hope for the NCAA tournament.
We can always cross our fingers.
Cross that, fingers. That means
NC State needs to get invited by the NCAA and then not kicked out.
We'll see.
Too soon.
Hey, look, you know, like as you mentioned, I was just there. I'd never been to LSU's campus before. That SEC money hits different, man.
Oh, for sure.
It's different. They got really nice facilities.
College World Series final will be Ole Miss, current SEC member, against Oklahoma, future SEC member. Best of three series
just
starts
means more
this weekend.
Next up,
number four.
Joining us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline from WFNZ, Travis Hancock and the Hornets. I think Travis made a good decision in going with Mark Williams in the 15 spot, but I get the sense coming out of Charlotte that more people are concerned with what they did with the 13th pick in Jalen Duren and trading him away and the haul that came along with it. Does it really come down to the haul for that 13th pick, or is it the player?
I think it's more about the player. Well, I think it's more about maybe the haul and how they got to Mark Williams, because it's funny, Joe, how it works. In the lead up to the draft, Mark Williams was seen as a guy that most fans in Charlotte, most Hornets fans, whether they rooted for Duke or Carolina or State or whatever, they all kind of knew who Mark Williams is. They know what he provides as a big man that we need here. And then because the path to him last night involved the trade of Jalen Duren from Memphis, who they initially took and moved on from him right away. So the trade sort of made the Mark Williams pick almost like a negative in some fans' minds. Mm-hmm. They said, oh, what are we doing? He's not Duren. But yet it's weird how if they would have just had the 15th pick and taken Mark Williams and there was nothing going on at 13, fans would have been going crazy today, throwing babies. It would have been a crazy day today in the air. It would have been a crazy day in Charlotte of hype, and we finally got a big man. But because, you know, there's also a little bit of negativity around the Hornets right now that they're seen as making a bad move at 13, when in all actuality, they still got a guy at 15 that I think is right now a better player than Jalen Duren of Memphis at 13.
Travis Hancock joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. The Charlotte Hornets went with Mark Williams, but that's just part of the story last night. Mitch Kupchak, the general manager of the Hornets, am I carrying water when I believe? I know you talk about negativity. Not a lot of people are happy with Mitch Kupchak. I get it. Jordan's guy, all that stuff. But I believe him when he says, if we're going to take a leap, I don't want it to be with the five guys that are under the age of 21. That would be too young of a team if we're trying to go forward. And I feel like that makes a lot of sense to me, but I guess some people are rejecting that.
Yeah, well, that was the thing about the lead-up of this. We never realistically thought that they were going to take a player at 13 and 15, especially when you consider they had two players last year in the first round in James Bouknight and Kai Jones, who were kind of put on ice last year. We don't know exactly what their part of the rotation may be because we don't have a coach here yet, which is another story I'm sure that you'll get into. But we don't have a coach. But when you're looking at who the coaches may be, you know, we're now linked to Mike D'Antoni, the possible return of Steve Clifford. These veteran coaches, Joe, they're not going to want they're old school, the guys that we're linked to. They're not going to want to try to find minutes for Bouknight or Jones, then for Mark Williams, then for another pick. They're not going to want four young guys in their rotation to try to use. So, yeah, it was never realistic to me that they were going to take both players at 13 and 50. But in the fans' minds, it was almost like they, during draft night, the conventional thoughts go out the window where they get a little upset. But, no, they're in a mode now. This isn't the Bobcats year.
Yeah, right.
The early return of the Hornets where, you know, we're trying just to stockpile as many assets as possible. We need to get some young players. But, man, to move up to where we want to be, we got to get the veteran guys, the P.J. Tuckers, the Jay Crowders. They've got to get those guys mixed in, the toughness, the attitude. That's got to be a part of this as much as trying to stockpile all these young players.
So the Hornets fans already seem annoyed with the Hornets and their actions, and they're annoyed because Kenny Atkinson decided to stay with the Golden State Warriors rather than, you know, follow through with the contract that he was getting ready to sign. Did I read right that Steve Clifford, a former Hornets coach, might be in the mix to come back as head coach because of what happened with Kenny Atkinson?
Yeah, I did not think that this journey, this 10-week journey that we're now on, would land back to Steve Clifford. But, yeah, that report came down yesterday from Mark Stein, who, you know, very well-connected and one of the better ones. So when I initially heard about it, I thought, okay, well, this makes sense to me because this is going to be Steve Clifford coming in back as a defensive coordinator type for Mike D'Antoni because
sure.
Mike D'Antoni had just interviewed on Wednesday. Makes sense. All right, I'm going to want a pretty well-known defensive guy. But then you read it, and it wasn't for defensive coordinator assistant type. It was for the return of Clifford as head coach. Rod Boone of the Charlotte Observer reports today that Clifford met with them this week. He's been in town. So while Mike D'Antoni was here, so is Steve Clifford. And you're hearing nothing at all anywhere on how the D'Antoni interview went. But you're hearing stuff on Clifford, which not really a good sign to me that we're getting no reports on D'Antoni. Kupchak saying we could take more weeks on this. So that tells me right there that whatever happened with D'Antoni is going to continue to be a thing. And here's the problem.
What's the rush? At this point, what's the rush, Travis?
Yeah, I don't know. Somehow Matt Rhule's surviving here, but yet we can't get another coach in here to coach
right.
Our basketball team. Here's the when they do a history of the Hornets in this era, it's going to read, all right, so we had Steve Clifford, who was a really good defensive coach, who I kind of liked a little bit, but, you know, time was ticking there at the end. So Steve Clifford, this really great defensive coach, but he got let go because they wanted to up the offense. So they bring in James Borrego, a really good offensive coach. He has him at the best offense for a rating they ever had, but his defense was bad. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to go back to Steve Clifford. The history of like this 5 years is going to be very hard to explain to the young people down the line.
Travis Hancock, WFNZ out in Charlotte. We appreciate the time, man. And I don't know, maybe at some point they can try to convince Baker Mayfield to take the Hornets coaching job and be the QB. And the Hornets can pick up some of that salary. I don't know. We're at that point now in Charlotte Sports Talk Radio where anything is possible.
Look, the amount of times the amount of time I've spent on the coaching search and Baker Mayfield talk, I was out for a week. I went on vacation. Actually, my last day a couple weeks ago was the Friday afternoon when it came down that they were going to hire Kenny Atkinson. By the time I came back 10 days later, Kenny Atkinson had removed himself from the job already.
All right, man. Appreciate the time. Have a good weekend.
All right, man. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Big thanks to Travis Hancock, WFNZ, for joining us here on the OG on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. I'm just trying to make some sense of what the Hornets did. Because, Jilly, you know me. Like, I'm high on Mark Williams. I like Mark Williams. But I can see where the tendency to overvalue picks will kind of paint what your issues might be with the Charlotte Hornets and what they did last night. I think ultimately they'll be fine. I think the bigger concern is who's going to coach them.
Well, I would hope it's not Mike D'Antoni, who's 71 years old, and overstayed his welcome pretty much everywhere he's been.
Yeah, that's
after
true.
The Phoenix after the Phoenix issues, success in Phoenix. Excuse me. The Hornets moved down, basically sold the 13th pick for a pick in a future draft that can't be above the 18th pick. So initially you're going, wait, what? They did what? But then you realize that first round picks are real. You can't cut them. Even if you do, you have to pay the money towards the cap.
Mm-hmm.
So by getting rid of the pick and getting a future first round pick, even if it's lower, they're getting the money off of the books for this year.
Which is important.
Which is important because Miles Bridges is expected to command a max offer or close to one from Detroit or Portland or two of those teams. And he has, as a restricted free agent, the Hornets would then need to make the decision to keep him. I think with LaMelo Ball, they need to keep Bridges.
Next up.
Number three.
Speaking of keeping players, the Yankees are screwing around with Aaron Judge, and we're going to see what happens if you do that. The Yankees and Judge did agree to a one-year, $19 million contract to avoid arbitration. This, according to ESPN sources, Judge can also make an additional bonuses for winning an MVP, winning the World Series MVP. Judge is 30, Joe, and he's going through just an unbelievable season right now with 27 home runs in 68 games. He's also hitting .300. The Yankees are the best team in baseball this year. But before this season started, Judge turned down a $213 million offer from the Yankees, obviously believing he can get a bigger payday in free agency. I'm starting to wonder if Aaron Judge is going to be on the Yankees next year.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they're going to let a Yankee.
Right.
A homegrown. They
drafted and groomed and everything.
This is Aaron Judge is not old school for you and me.
As we like to call, even if Paul O'Neill wasn't one, we like to call him a true Yankee.
Exactly. Like I have to preface this by saying an old school Yankee. Well, there's all sorts of eras of old school Yankees. Mm-hmm. When I say an old school Yankee, I'm talking about that dynasty that included Derek Jeter and Pettit and the World Series that came with
Rivera.
It.
Rivera.
And, you know, the advantage that the Yankees had, because everybody likes to point out, well, no, that was good scouting and they came up from the system. I go, right, but the Yankees are so rich that they were able to keep these guys.
Right.
Whereas the Marlins, who were equally as good as identifying talent back in the 90s, would have a moment in time in which they could well work when they were cheap, but when it was time to pay the piper, they couldn't do it because they were the Marlins and they were notoriously cheap. So I can't imagine Aaron Judge, who's like the one last like baseball player that people give a damn about, because it's not Mike Trout. He doesn't have the personality.
Right.
So, yeah.
He's larger than life, too. I mean, no, he's literally hits are just ridiculous.
No, Aaron Judge is literally larger than life. Have you seen him hold a water bottle?
Yes. But the issue, even for the Yankees, who paid A-Rod all that money and Giambi and everyone else to not play, 142 games Judge missed between the 2018 and 2020.
Yeah.
And it's been, not just one injury, but multiple different injuries. We're near that big, my goodness. Maybe they just need to DH him more.
Next up.
Number two.
So the Kyrie Irving saga continues. He wants out of Brooklyn, or does he? Who knows? Nobody ever knows what the heck is going on with Kyrie Irving. Apparently, he has a list of sign-and-trade deals he would like to do. Tim Bontemps at ESPN highlighting that this list includes the Lakers, which would be with LeBron James, the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, the Knicks, the Miami Heat, of course, because culture, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Philadelphia 76ers. Wait. Didn't James Harden just try to, leave your situation because he was fed up with that crap? And now you're like,
He did.
He did? I'd love to go play with James Harden again. If I'm James Harden, I'm looking at the 76ers going, don't you dare. Anyway, who's to say that this is not a list that he just threw out there to keep the people going? Meanwhile, Kevin Durant is trying to step away from being tied to the Kyrie Irving.
Back into the hedge with Homer.
It's essentially what he's doing. Kevin Durant... There are times where I do legitimately feel bad for Kevin Durant, because he just likes basketball, man, and he gets fired up on social media. I can live with that, but his decisions have led to a real negative narrative around him, and him joining the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie Irving has absolutely
blown up in his face, right down to a shoe size. It's the crazy part. Next up.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one. We're number one.
To the NBA draft, where the ACC had a pretty good night. Duke, of course, had the best night with like their entire team being drafted last night in the NBA draft. Paolo Banchero goes overall number one to the Orlando Magic. We'll get to back to that in a second. Mark Williams goes to Charlotte with the 15th pick in the draft. Right after that, AJ Griffin goes to Atlanta. And then Wendell Moore closes out the first round by going to Houston. Again, four guys in the first round. That's pretty good for Duke. Trevor Keels goes in the second round to the Knicks. Meanwhile, Jake LaRavia from Wake Forest goes to Minnesota, and Blake Wesley of Notre Dame is in San Antonio. But back to the number one pick, Julio, in Paolo Banchero. This was positioned as a surprise. Mm-hmm. How much of this was a surprise that it was Paolo Banchero and what we think about his skills? And how much of this was related to reporting and betting markets?
I think 90% of it you could give to Adrian Wojnarowski in his report early yesterday morning that the order of the first three picks was going to be Jabari Smith, one, Chet Holmgren, two, Paolo Banchero, three.
Yeah.
That in order, that in turn affects the betting market, which in today's day and age becomes a story.
It does become a story, but there were some people who were smart enough to look at, that looks a little out of whack for Paolo Banchero, made some bets on Paolo Banchero and actually moved the market overnight that yesterday morning the betting markets had shifted back to Paolo Banchero. About Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, his reputation is he doesn't miss. That doesn't mean he can't be got, though, from time to time. And that's the one thing that I have to remind everybody of during this time of the year, whether it's the NBA draft or the NFL draft. Every bit of information is leaked for a reason. Now, you're probably wondering, well, what would Orlando be doing trying to set up a smokescreen for the overall number one pick in the draft? What's it to you? Just take the guy you want. It could just be, hey, why not? Let's see if we can get somebody to move up. We move back to the third spot or whatever.
Danny Ainge and the Celtics did that a few years ago with Jason Tatum.
And then you just go ahead and get your guy. You still get Paolo Banchero. Didn't work, so it is what it is. There's one thing that kept coming up about Paolo Banchero and why it was a surprise. Well, they didn't work him out. They didn't work him out. They worked out Chet Holmgren. They worked out, Jabari?
Smith.
Smith, thank you. I'm drawing a blank there all of a sudden. And it was out that they never worked out. They didn't work him out. Why would you pick a guy that you didn't work out? Well, who's to say that they were being truthful about whether they worked him out? For instance, Jeff Weltman of the Orlando Magic on Monday was asked point blank, hey, have you worked Paolo Banchero out?
Adam, you know, there's so much subterfuge going on and there's so much gamesmanship that I think that one of the things that we've done well and do well, and I'm really proud of our guys for being able to say this, is we are buttoned up. And I think it's really important to act that way. So whatever the chatter is, whatever the rumors are, you know, I'll never get involved in that. I'll tell you that we've had more players in than have been reported, but I will not ever get into speaking about, you know, details or visits or this or that. And honestly, I think that serves a good purpose because not only I think is it important for us to keep our information discreetly so that the players know that they can trust us, but it's also important when teams call. Because I do believe that we're a team that other teams know they can make discreet phone calls to and it won't get out. So the way that you manage information is a big part of this business. So, you know, I'm not going to comment on any of that kind of thing.
So that was Jeff Weltman of the Orlando Magic. That sounds like a guy who worked out Paolo Banchero and didn't want you to know about it.
Also sounds like a guy who hasn't spent a lot of time with the media too, right? I mean, there's not a lot of polish there.
It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovies. If you miss anything from today's show, you can check it out on the Best of the OG podcast, Apple, Spotify, you name it. We're there. Five stars only, positive vibes only. Joining us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline from the ACC Network, ESPN, Jordan Cornett. The NBA draft is in the books last night. Paolo Banchero, the overall number one pick to the Orlando Magic. Jordan, A, what up? B, I feel like
because of the initial reports going into the draft where it was not going to be Paolo Banchero, we're more focused on the quote-unquote surprise of it all rather than the fact that, yeah, he looks like a number one pick, so what's the problem for the Magic?
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of refreshing for me because all the draft stuff that I watched with no sound. I'm down here in Chapel Hill with the UNC group for a fantasy experience, which has been top of the line execution and being able to be with, you know, the alumni of Carolina and some of the current players poised for a huge year. I've been immersed in that world. So I'm watching the draft with these guys sound down because, surprise, surprise, Carolina kept all their guys. Mm-hmm. So they'll be hearing their names next year. So they didn't want to have the volume up to hear all these Duke guys get their names called. So I watched and I had to react without having, you know, any other voices in my ear. So I don't know if this stuff has been talked about or not, to be quite honest, J.O., but to me, it was a no-brainer. Paolo Banchero is the most ready-made guy for the league at this point. And if you're going off, you need immediate impact like the Magic do. I mean, he's a versatile piece that can play multiple positions on the floor. He's a playmaker in this league now. There's heavy value in guys who can guard a lot of positions. Banchero can grow into that with his lateral movement. His body is built for this. You watch what Giannis has done in the league, being imposing, playing downhill, but a high IQ guy. I'm telling you, Banchero possesses that. So when you look at Chet, the gamble with his body, people calling him a poor, an early Giannis too, like his body can get to Giannis's.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
The concave build isn't sexy to me, and Jabari needs to develop ball handling skills. So I like Paolo going one.
Jordan Cornette joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias, ACC Network, ESPN. One last thing on Paolo Banchero, and I guess I'm with you. It makes sense. It's a no-brainer, but he still has a lot to show. Paolo gave me – now that we're looking back on the year, Paolo gave me the impression that he was incredibly skilled at a bunch of different things, and there were times when he put it all together, you saw it. It clicked. It looked great. But he didn't do that enough last year. This is just a byproduct of me forgetting he's 19 years old. We only saw him one season, then there's always room to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a professionalism that comes with this, you know, when it becomes their full-on career. And we knew it was a one-stop shop for Paolo when he arrived at Duke. But again, there's just different things you're adjusting to, and you're playing with guys in a different style. I mean, defense rules the day in college right now with, you know, pack line defenses he's seeing and stuff like that. You'll see versions in the league, but the space, when you put that space into that element and then you're judging a guy's ability like Paolo's, watch the production skyrocket. And again, not having to worry about his body growing with it, the speed of the game, him acclimating himself to, those things are already there. The one thing I always caution people around the draft, J.O., is don't focus on what guys can't do so much.
Yeah.
Focus on what they can do. And Paolo can do a hell of a lot.
It's funny you mentioned that, because that's been my argument this week in chatting with Giglio about, of the Duke players in this draft, why I was so high on Mark Williams, who ends up going 15th to the Charlotte Hornets. I was more focused on what he's able to do, what he's gifted with, what I saw, and why, of all the players at Duke, he seems like he's most plug and play right now for a team that would need a position like his.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the guy's elite wingspan, his ability to block shots. I'd love to see him develop more of an offensive game, back to the basket, consistently step out to 15. You know, these NBA guys, we've seen it with Brooke Lopez, like all of a sudden he's a three-point specialist. Does that become a part of the game, stepping out, being able to stretch it? I do know Mark Williams changes ends well, and he loves to compete, and he's a coachable guy. He's a quiet, humble guy who keeps his head down and works. That's what I've really seen, J.O., when I've watched these guys. And I've had an opportunity to be really close to these prospects over the years. Guys that have a heap of talent don't really love the game. You have to be wired so different to take off and be and excel in that career, because it's the 1% of the 1%. So if you're talented, great. But do you have the work ethic to make it through? And if you have a G League stint, you got to come off the G League and then can call back up with two ways and all that. How do you respond? And Mark Williams is the guy who's wired to win right now.
Jordan Cornette, ESPN, ACC Network, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. You're there in Chapel Hill right now. You're part of a fun event that's going on right now. And you mentioned it. Armando Bacot Caleb Love, you know, this group that's coming back. I know Pete Nance has got a transfer to Carolina, and we got another season for Carolina to have some expectations. It might be the preseason number one for all I know. But for me, I think the fascinating part is when you look at some ACC guys and where they went, maybe it was in the second round, maybe they're going to have to sign a free agent contract. You know, you look at somebody like Darian Sebron, it's got a two-way deal with the Pelicans right now, which great for him. I feel like what Armando has done, and with NIL and what one report indicated how much money he's going to make this upcoming season, we could be seeing more Armando Bacots in the future in the ACC, which I think is great for the league. It might even be great for the NBA because we're going to have an investment with these players when they finally go, rather than that one stop.
Yeah, and look, everybody obviously that's in this game is in it because they want to get to the next level. They want to be a star in the league and make a ton of money. But I'm down here at Chapel Hill, and this event that this Pro Camps group is putting on and doing a fantastic job, a little pub there for the group. but being down here, J.O., I mean, like I said, you've got all these Carolina alum that have come back, but they haven't really come back. They live here.
Yeah.
Because they've enjoyed the experience so much. Tyler Hansborough lives off the course there at Findlay. I won't give an address because I don't want people going down there pounding on his door. But they stayed around it because they built up a brand here. They're treated well here, and they've cultivated a great life here. Now, Hansborough had a great NBA career, went on to play substantially in the NBA. That might not be for everybody, but what Armando's built for himself is a brand. There's a brand recognition coming in for this second year as they begin another title run to try and get to a title game and ultimately win it. These guys are known entities. And look, can Armando put together an even more special year and maybe increase his stock? Sure, but he's a known name and there's a brand affiliated with him that is of great value.
Yeah, I don't know how much better. I mean, he accumulates the stats, man. I mean, what he was able to do last year was absolutely impressive. And the expectations are going to be there. They're no surprising for Carolina next year. I mean, I have to imagine they're going to go into the year as an ACC favorite and a top national team.
J.O., if I can stress anything upon the audience that's listening right now, Pete Nance is an absolute difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
The young man has spent his time in Northwestern, and it was interesting talking to him being down here. I mean, the guy committed a couple days ago, and he's here a part of this event. It's part of the NIL move. You know, these guys are doing it the proper way, above board here. They're not just having bags of money thrown at them. Pete Nance didn't want that. He said, I want to come here. I want to play for Carolina. I want to do things within the mold of how the NIL is structured to work. Here's one of those events. But what Pete brings to this group, he's a mature guy. And he said to me, he said, Jordan, I loved my Northwestern teammates. I loved Northwestern, but it got to a point where I said, I want to win. And I don't think I can win here. I don't care about the money I can make at other schools, yada, yada. I want to go to a place I could fit. I watched Brady Manick dominate there at that four spot as a versatile piece. I think I can bring some of that and a little bit more. And I want that opportunity. And so he's going to come in here, and this group's not going to skip a beat. They have the most talented roster in all of college basketball. They are the preseason number one, without question.
Jordan Cornett, ESPN, ACC Network. We appreciate the time, man. Have fun the rest of the weekend in Chapel Hill.
J.O., I appreciate it, man. Always good to talk to you.
That's the two-minute warning. Now, here's one more shot of Joe to go.
Ready, down, put.
It looks like the dream of legalized sports gambling in North Carolina will die on the General Assembly floor. On the bright side, in these uncertain times at least, we found an issue to unite Democrats and Republicans, or some of them anyway. This was such an easy, no-brain layup, you can be forgiven for assuming it would just pass through, like it has in 29 other states since the Supreme Court cleared the way for legalized sports gambling in 2018. After all, who doesn't like free money? Well, apparently a bipartisan bloc of lawmakers in North Carolina. And the reasons given, whew, they'll make you question if the General Assembly met in the year 2022 or if they hopped in a time machine. One representative warned legalized sports betting could lead to another point-shaving scandal like the one at the Dixie Classic 63 years ago. That was a recent example if you go by another state representative who brought up the Black Sox baseball scandal from the World Series in 1919. You know, before a modern amenities like refrigerators were household items. If you want to make sports gambling a morality play, I can at least understand your soapbox. If you want to prevent sports gambling because it will lead to scandal, you're not only wrong, you're ignorant. Trust me, If the world was run by the same people in charge of monitoring and policing casinos, we'd all be a lot better off. That is your shot at Joe to go. Don't put it in a three-team parlay and throw it away.
I am not throwing away my shot.